Good evening. White Baltimore police officer Edward Nero was acquitted Monday of assault and other charges in the death of Freddie Gray. He was the 28-year-old black resident of Baltimore who was physically accosted in his arrest and died from injuries in the back of a police van. This is the second prosecution which failed to hold police accountable in Baltimore. The first was a jury trial in December. It resulted in a mistrial when the jury couldn't agree on a verdict in the manslaughter case against Officer William Porter. This time it was a bench trial without a jury. The judge decided Officer Edward Nero wasn't responsible for the failure by police to buckle Gray into a police van. Upon hearing the verdict, Nero hugged his attorney. He appeared to wipe away a tear. Nero was the second of six officers to stand trial. The van driver and a supervisor whose roles in Gray's arrest are seen as pivotal have not yet gone on trial. The van driver faces the most serious charge of all, second-degree murder. Baltimore civil rights attorney Wendell Gordon after the verdict.
The judge did suggest, he suggested in a very tacit type of kind of way that perhaps Greg Porter, but the van driver may face some challenges in the near future. But other than that, I think that this case is pretty much over.
The attorney for the family of Freddie Gray, Billy Murphy, says the family respects the verdict.
The family's previous position has been, and I have no doubt that they will maintain it, as long as all of the evidence is heard, as long as all of the law is properly considered, and as long as this was a fair process, then justice was done. And to the black citizens in Baltimore, you ought to be proud that such an accomplished jurist with a background in prosecuting corrupt cops had the courage to go against public opinion and render a decision that he and he alone believe was just under the circumstances. You can't ask for more than that.
Murphy obtained a $6.4 million settlement for the Gray family. Freddie Gray's friend, Angel.
You understand? It's not right. It's not justifiable. You got crooked cops out here. You got good cops. I'm not blaming the good cops, but at the same time, right is right and wrong is wrong. Come on, be honest, y'all. This city needs to wake up and smell the coffee. If it was your child, you would want that officer to be convicted. It's not right.
Meanwhile, Nero's attorney says the state's attorney for Baltimore City rushed to charge him as well as five other officers and should drop remaining cases. His attorney says Nero remains a proud member of the Baltimore Police Department and looks forward to serving the city and the people of Baltimore. But Freddie Gray is one of many who have died from lethal force by police. Amnesty International issued a report on force by police throughout the U.S. It found widespread patterns of racial discrimination. Jamira Burley is with Amnesty International, which is calling for widespread reform of laws governing the use of lethal force by police.
Last year in our deadly force report, we were able to highlight that all 50 states, including the District of Columbia, use of lethal force statute is actually in violation of international law. International law requires that police are only able to use lethal force when it's in regards to imminent danger of either the officer or a bystander. And we found that in all 50 states, which really covers about more than 16,000 police departments, we found that they're not actually in line with international standards. And actually, many of them are out of line with even constitutional law here in the United States.
And how does this tie in with the death of Freddie Gray?
Well, this ties in with the incident of Freddie Gray because what we've seen is that police officers are using excessive force when arresting an individual and or trying to stop a riot from happening. And so if police officers are governing by this law that allows them to use excessive force, what we find is that a lot of times the use of force is unnecessary, and a lot of times it results in the life, the loss of life, particularly of an African-American, either male or female.
And many of us saw that video, which showed a use of force in his arrest.
Yeah, exactly. We constantly see examples of excessive force being used by police officers all over the country, and not enough conversation has happened at the federal level around how do we reform our current legislation that enables police officers to use this excessive force, but also change the culture of violence within police departments that allows for excessive force to be seen as acceptable and officers not to be held accountable.
And Amnesty is also concerned with the militarized police forces that are being used to suppress lawful protests. This is throughout the U.S.
Exactly. I mean, what we find is that a lot of times you have excess military equipment being sent to local police departments. Many of them aren't trained on actually how to use them. And also they're being put in what you find is that you see tanks in the middle of neighborhoods, like in Baltimore, what happened in Baltimore. And it's really uncalled for, but also it creates an atmosphere of violence that continues to terrorize communities who have already been inflicted by the over-policing in their communities.
The arms that are being used, they're really from the military.
Exactly. There are contracts that city police departments have with the federal government that allows them to get access military equipment. And so the fact that it's called military equipment should already deem that it's unfit for domestic use. But what you find is that it's already being used in small and large police departments around the country, which again results in excessive use of force. And is mostly targeted towards communities of color and our most marginalized communities where there's not many options for these individuals to find justice or seek discipline to the officer who caused them harm.
Now, what's the next step in calling for this reform of the various laws that govern the use of lethal force?
We have called for both national reform as well as state-by-state reform because, again, what will be found after the release of our report is that a lot of police departments, our police unions, and our organizations actually said that they have policy on the books that would reform this. And what we're calling for is actual legislative change because that will allow for officers to be held accountable when they do use excessive force, but also create the opportunity to retrain officers not only how to use proper force, but also how to interact with members of the community, particularly our most marginalized communities, where many officers do not come from that community. And so they don't have, in many instances, don't have a stake in what goes on. And so we want to reform not just the use of force statutes, but also how police officers interact with members of the communities that can either be harmful in many different ways, both physical and mental.
Jamira Burley is Senior Campaign Manager with Amnesty International USA. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.